Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figus Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here bringing you the latest and greatest in geek news. There's a lot, but there's not. It's a weird influx of different little topics and things that have just kind of popped up on my radar that I want to share, that I want to enlighten you with and give you a small little piece of my perspective, my take, if you will, on what's going on. We are sponsored by Suzy Q's, who is a maker of fine jewelry, some creative works that no one around town, or the world for that matter, is going to have. We are going into Black Friday, which means there are specials to be found. And Suzy's got some doozies set up. So starting November 27th, and this is only for the 27th, take a 30% discount on anything you purchase, and then on the 28th, and this is the 28th only, take 15% off sterling silver jewelry, and then for the Cyber Monday, November 30th, and this is November 30th only, buy a Celtic Visions or Dragon bracelet and get the matching necklace for free. And that's only on Cyber Monday. Go to SuzyQs.com. There is a link in the post, both on Facebook, both on our webpage, and Twitter. So we're everywhere that you want to be. And even on Podbean and all of the other platforms that we're on, there are links directly to Suzy Q's. Check her out on Instagram, Facebook, and her own webpage. She is brilliant. Anyway, what else? What is going on? The world has gone crazy. No, not really. It's not crazy. It's just kind of less full of stuff, as someone once put. The final episode of Supernatural landed this last week, and yes, I watched it. I couldn't help but watch it. I mean, this show has ran for 15 years. And I remember, I mean, I haven't been like a dedicated fan like others who have, you know, been there from the beginning. I was there at the beginning, but I've kind of stepped in and out. Of course, it was during Smallville that it kind of came along. And, you know, that show, we already know the tragic history between me and that show. But I would still kind of step in and watch and see what was going on and everything. But, you know, I would consider myself an enthusiast. I don't know if I would go as far as a fan, but I appreciated the show. I appreciated the chemistry and the Monster of the Week approach that they have had over the years has been fun. And you know, the constant escalation of everything. I mean, what show do you know that they're going to write in? You're going to take on God. I mean, these guys did some incredible stuff. The Scooby-Doo episode, the Supernatural opera. I mean, they've done singing episodes. Of course, they've done it all in 15 years, and they finally said goodbye. And you know, it's kind of, I think we're seeing the end of something, not only something special, but the end of a hallmark, if you will, because shows are drastically changing as binging is running rampant, and they're kind of being run over by the tight story, the no filler episodes, which, you know, not everyone can be an Oscar, and there is character development, there's world building, there's a lot of things that go on for a show like this for like 15 years. But now you're taking shows with a semi-established world and just kind of being thrusted in, and instead of like an overarching storyline and subplots and everything else that goes into a show, it's just one specific topic, it's one focus, and it's, you know, 10 episodes at best for some shows. And we already know, in my opinion, that as much as I like 10 episodes, I dislike 10 episodes, because I still want to see some of that character building. I don't think with that kind of time restraint, there's still that possibility, especially when the shows are still kind of like figuring in for commercials, because we're running some shows that, you know, are barely getting, you know, this last Mandalorian, I think, was 39 minutes. Great episode, really great episode, but 39 minutes, come on, give me at least an hour. Come on, you're not limited by anything. That's the funny thing. These shows are not limited by anything but what they want to put out there. There's no one that's sitting there in the office pushing a button saying, oh, you went, you know, 10 seconds over this mark for your commercial break. So I don't know. Supernatural is, I think, the last bastion, because I know we're seeing CW stuff kind of falling apart, and I'll get to that story in a minute. But it was heartfelt. They kind of did a nod to the first season, kind of, you know, talked to the best that they could about every character. It's hard to do when you've been running for 15 years. My God. Which is fine. All things have their time and their place. And could they have kept going? Sure. I mean, but at this point, I'm sure they're tired. They probably want to play something else. And I know that this is going to keep going, because I know Supernatural Con has already been announced for here in Colorado. Next year, I think it's like the 21st of November or October. It's sometime next year. And I think it was the 21st. I'd have to check. But these guys are going to keep going, doing the cons. By no means is this the last we're going to see of them, just because they're too popular with the fans. They have too big, of a cult following. But it was, you know, it's sad, because I really want to, you know, give a nod, give a little due respect at the same time, and just say, well, you guys did a great run. Congratulations. Now what are you going to do? what else? Oh, ooh. So the other story that caught my eye, and I'm kind of in this with what I've read from people and what I have currently read. But, of course, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Ready Player 2 was coming out. The new book is out. And the question on everyone's mind, and mine, it's not really worth the token. So, Ready Player 1, for all its flaws, was still a fun read. And, you know, the trips back and forth into nostalgia, what the key things that they decided, the key things that Ernest Cline decided to focus in on for his characters was genuine. It was a heartfelt fan service of impactful stories from the 80s and 90s. And it was, well, not so much to the 90s, but at least a lot of the 80s. And it was fun. So the pressure, I guess the pressure was on him to do a sequel. I don't think a sequel was necessary. I kind of think you covered all of it that you needed to, and it wrapped up in a nice tight little bow, and you went about the business. Everyone is happily ever after. The world has changed. There's hope for all. Blah, 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 blah. Like Quentin Tarantino says, I'd like to think that Beatrix Kiddo is living a happy life, and if I come back, I'm just going to mess that up. So you kind of, you pull what you can from that. And as I've read, the first couple chapters, and I don't want to say he's just a one-trick pony, but we're kind of going right back into the same formula. There's no real creative side to this, and we know more about what the plot is, and I don't want to give any spoilers out, but there's another code to be broken. There's another egg that Holiday left in the Matrix, I mean the Oasis, and it's interesting from the standpoint that there's another bad guy, of course, that wants to take over the world. Yeah, I'm not buying it, and it really, I don't know. I'm not too impressed so far. Like I said, I'm a few chapters in, and I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but the question I keep asking, is it worth the token? Is it really worth wrecking that kind of feel that you got? And I'm not the only one that is kind of singing this. There are a lot of people who I guess were, you know, huge Klein fans that are saying the same thing of just like, this isn't as fun as the first one. Again, we've already been down this road. Give us something new. And that's the bad thing about, you know, everybody. We want not just the one trick. We want, what's the next trick? Show us more. And I don't think you're going to get it. I really don't think that Ready Player 2 is going to be as impactful as everyone is hoping. And just a hunch. I could be wrong. Probably not. But I'll finish reading it just to see what I feel at the end of it, but for most intents and purposes, yikes. Anyway, let me know what you think. Maybe you got a different take on it, a different view, and I'm all about listening to other people and maybe pointing out something that I have missed so far. So let me know in the comments below. Moving on. What else did I see this week? So trying to scramble on finding things to watch because DC, or not DC, Star Trek paces out its episodes weekly. Same thing with The Mandalorian and all of that. So I got to wait. Can't binge. I know. Really weird. But Animaniacs lands on Hulu, and it's okay so far. It's more than what I expected, but not at the same time. It's still kind of taking the newer animation style to, you know, from the 90s to catch up. The stories are interesting if there are plots. And I don't know. I'm just kind of okay with it. So, it's a hard comparison. And maybe it's just not for me. Maybe I just don't get it. There have been some funny moments for me that I've actually really like had a proper belly laugh. So there have been some funny things, but some of the humor and some of the jokes, I'm just kind of like, not what I would expect. And I don't know who the cartoon is targeted for. Is it a kid's cartoon, or, you know, are there subtle jokes? There are some really, really over the top jokes, and I'm just like, ooh, okay. Didn't see that one coming. And, you know, when they put it all together, nothing on the presidential side had been settled yet. So there's a couple shots there. But, of course, you expect that. It's a satirical cartoon. And, you know, you kind of take certain liberties. But there's just, there's a couple over-the-top moments that I'm even squirming. I'm just like, I don't. Fast forward. I mean, the Pinky and the Brain stuff is still semi-entertaining. But, again, same plot, just different mix, different soup. I don't know. I haven't finished it yet, but I have a feeling, you know, it's the same formula as before, and it's not as, I'm finding it's just not as clever as it was before. So I'm happy to see the trio back together, and it does kind of, you know, give you some warm fuzzy of the nostalgia side of it, but at the same point, I'm just kind of like, maybe? And I'm not diving hard into this. I'm kind of just pacing out episodes. The funny thing is, and they even joke about this, is the reboot joke. What are you going to reboot when all you've done is reboots for the last few years? So I don't, I just kind of laugh about that. And it's a true story. So I'm saving judgment. I really, truly am. Because if just heartstrings, love for the show, all of that. Yay. What else? Oh, so the other big standout for me this week, of course, I HBO Max. Holy shit. These guys, just freaking on fire. I mean, holy crap. So speaking of, like, pulling at the heartstrings and the nostalgia, HBO Max releases the new reunion special for the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. So Will Smith and the whole gang are back together to talk about the show, hash things out, and oh my God, it's just, I'm not crying, you're crying. It is, it is just, I want to say impactful. It was, it's kind of very like surreal after watching it. So, I mean, I wasn't like a big fan of the show. I watched it every once in a while, but it just didn't line up with my schedule, of course, aware of it, and blah, 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 blah. But just to sit down and watch the special just out of, you know, curiosity and to see what was going on. Oh, my God. So it was just so, oh. I mean, I've watched like two specials this weekend that just absolutely destroy the emotional meter, because you've got this one with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and then you've got the Belushi special that they did on Showtime that they kind of recap John Belushi's life, and they've got new things in there and just testimonials from people that you haven't seen. So it's not like a rehash of different stuff. But I mean, there's some, but it's not as prevalent as I thought it was going to be, because I just thought it'd be just like another, you know, behind the scenes type of, you know, cliche show that they just threw together. But this actually pays tribute to Belushi and just what was going on. And there's some really touching moments with Aykroyd and oh, my God. So this weekend has just been one emotional roller coaster after the other. So if you have Showtime, by all means, the Belushi special, well worth it. HBO Max, killing it, like I said, with The Fresh Prince, not to mention Teen Titans. Also, they do release, they did release Starfire's costume. It looks spectacular. The shows that HBO Max are stacking up is just redonkulous. So we'll see what HBO Max pulls out with Teen Titans. I'm really, really excited to see this. And even like on regular HBO, decided to dive into His Dark Materials. We talked about this on another podcast that I'm on. And it really, you know what? It's entertaining. I never read the books. I don't know anything about the Golden Compass. I'm coming in completely blind on this, and I'm enjoying the shit out of it. So it's fun. It's cool. It's kind of, you know, no brainer. Just definitely something to sit back and enjoy. So I don't know. HBO is just back on the rise again with just trying to find some original thought-provoking content. So well done, HBO. Bravo. And Showtime still up there with everything for Belushi. And coming out on Thursday is going to be that World War One movie, 1914, I think it was called. And I've been waiting to watch this. I have not seen this. As much as I love, you know, a good war flick, it was one that I just didn't get to the theater to see. So it's finally coming out on Showtime on Thursday. So absolutely so excited to see this. I'll definitely pipe in, because I know Meat and Potatoes did do a review on this and just had nothing but rave reviews. So if you're not reading our stuff, please, 5280geek.com, check us out. I think you guys will like it. Moving on to the movie news. Dun, dun, dun. Believe it or not, Deadpool 3 is happening at Marvel Studios, and writers are working hard to come up with that story. It really is kind of strange that Disney signed off on this, in my opinion. I honestly, and they're still talking about it being an R-rated film. So it kind of gives you reason to pause and scratch your head. So, because everyone, let's face it, we were doing the hard bet that they were not going to revisit Deadpool, even though, you know, the X-Men franchise is coming back. And honestly, I think everyone was on the bus of like, okay, they're just going to completely reboot everything for the mutants. They probably may pull in a few few characters. I mean, I know Hugh Jackman's done as Wolverine, so there's like a huge kick in the X-ball. But what do you do? And it's kind of funny that the official statement is okay. So it's kind of it's like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Deadpool 3 is not officially greenlit yet. But Marvel Studio President Kevin Feige, who we talked about last week, who's now inherited all of the X stuff, I don't know how much of his Star Wars stuff is going to continue and his involvement with, like, The Mandalorian and all that, but he has he gets all of the Marvel stuff. Good luck. Hopefully that turns out well. Now that Deadpool 3 is moving forward, the next installment in the franchise is reportedly maintaining the R-rated tone of the previous films. That will be welcome news for many of the fans out there who are worried that Marvel Studios and Disney would try and water down the material to make it PG-13. Even though Ryan Reynolds is back for another R-rated romp, the rest of the creative team will look quite different. Not only are Warnick and Reese not returning, but Deadpool 2 director David Leitch is not expected to be back given his busy schedule, unless Deadpool 3 takes a few years to get into production. So what does that all mean? And that's a direct quote from press release out of Disney. So basically all of the creative team, with the exception of Ryan Reynolds, that made the last two Deadpool films so memorable and such a standout, are not coming back. Is this going to impact the quality of the film? Is this going to impact the content and what we have come to expect? I mean, this was kind of like the perfect mix of everything when it came down to the film. Because, I mean, it captured the character, it captured the comics, it captured the sarcasm and, you know, breaking the fourth wall. It really got a hold of truly understanding what the character and the expectation for the fan was. So I have no doubts that Kevin Feige is well aware of all of this, and being in charge of it is fine. But when it comes down to who's driving the bus versus who owns the bus is two different things. And I know Ryan Reynolds will no doubtedly have a huge input and all that. I can only hope that Brian Posehn will be tapped and brought in on the project. And I don't know. I'm excited yet very hesitant, just because, again, expectations too high. Are we worried about nothing? Or am I worried about nothing? Just because they may not have any cause of concern. They may have a firm foothold on what they want to do. I guess with them deciding the big decision, R or not to R, is the question. And they answered that right out of the gate. So this will be very interesting and uncharted waters for Disney if they actually produce an R-rated film. Yeah. Well, all right. Good on you guys. We'll see what happens. And I know there's going to probably be more of the story that evolves, because nobody has been named as far as director, writers, and how all of this is going to break down. But just the fact that Disney's is greenlit it is one huge step for mutant rights. Also, in continuing with the things we never thought we would see, Lethal Weapon 5 has been confirmed and to be moving forward by none other than Mel Gibson. Now, I never in a million years thought we would revisit this ever again. Lethal Weapon 4 came out in 1998. So just sit there and think about it. Now, I loved the show that was on Fox. And I know there was some personality conflicts between, creatives or sexual harassment. It was a hostile work environment. Whatever the reasons, the show it was great. It was awesome. It recaptured kind of what the original Lethal Weapon was all about. The buddy cop situation that Donner created, and basically it created its own little niche for the 80s and 90s. It's because of Donner that we have the buddy cop film. Everything that kind of followed is basically the same formula that he developed for Lethal Weapon. So when they did the TV show, I was excited as hell. And then it failed miserably. First couple seasons were great. And then they brought in Fincher from... No, wait. What's his name in American Pie? Oh, I can't think of his name at the moment. It was just... The show was great. But it died. And then the movies... Let's go back. The movies are probably cinematic masterpieces? Yeah, I'll say that. Just because what Richard Donner did when he brought Lethal Weapon out. I mean, it was just an amazing approach, and I loved everything about how he developed the characters, the bonding between the two. I mean, this film came out in 1987. The first Lethal Weapon was 1987. And again, at the end of it, you're like, well, okay, I guess we won't be seeing what happens with Riggs and Murtaugh. You kind of extrapolate, you know, from at the end of the film, what ends up happening. But there's like this huge metamorphosis between the two characters as the films progress. Murtaugh, you know, basically becoming re-energized and taking from Riggs' youth, and Riggs finding value in life, especially after the dirty deal he got, and explaining what happened to his wife. And the whole story that Donner put together for the four films was great. Also, Lethal Weapon 4 is Jet Li's first American film. Of course, he'd been in a lot of films, but this was his first American film. So it was like, okay, that was a nice little twist. Little trivia there for you today. But to see Lethal Weapon 5 coming back with Glover and Gibson, and the key piece is Richard Donner. He has said that he is working on the film. And in fact, Mel Gibson, this is a direct quote from him. Yeah, no, absolutely. And the man who was behind all that, the man who brought it to the screen and gave it the goodies, is working on it right now. Richard Donner, he's a legend. So huge praise from Mel Gibson. Of course, I think a lot of Mel Gibson's career success can be based on the Lethal Weapon and Donner's influence into his career. I know it's hard to beat him as the Road Warrior, but I mean, at the time, I mean, he was okay actor. He was recognized, but I really think Lethal Weapon put him into the action star, and everybody was totally on the Mel Gibson bandwagon at that point. So to see what Donner has in store for Lethal Weapon 5, I mean, I can only imagine since... Okay, so what did I say? The last film was 1998. So we're looking at kids having kids at this point, because when we left off, his older daughter was marrying Chris Rock's character, Butters, and so basically Murtaugh's a grandpa. Grandfather, shouldn't say grandpa, that just sounds so old. But I mean, there's like so many different like plot ways this can go. I don't know if Joe Pesci is going to come out of retirement for this, because you got to have Leo Getz. If there's no Leo dynamic, that would just be that would be a tragedy, because Leo was great. I mean, Joe Pesci just added to the depth and just gave the guys something to focus on, and just, I mean, total Three Stooges. It was perfect. And then, of course, you get Chris Rock's character at the end. So I can only imagine how big the family and the dynamic has grown at this point. And, I mean, that was kind of how they ended Lethal Weapon 4, was their family. That was the final thing. In addition to Riggs now being a father, it would be... I'm curious to see how they're going to approach this. Of course, the title, the working title that Donner has referenced many times is Lethal Weapon 5 as Lethal Final. And We'll see if that continues to be the title. But this is kind of good news. I'm excited. I really loved the Lethal Weapon series. It's one of my favorites. It's one of my staples. I've got, you know, multiple movie posters from all of the different incarnations. It was a good film series for me personally. I'm really excited to see just where we're at with the buddy cops, because by this time Murtaugh has to have retired, right? Come on. Really? Come on. Even Murtaugh, I mean, not even Murtaugh, but Riggs should have retired at this point. Just saying. I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited. We don't have a date. We don't have a plot. We don't have any of that yet. So just the fact that they're doing it, it just made me excited. I had to share. So as we get more information, I can guarantee I'm going to be going on and on about this. What else? Oh, so speaking of older characters, Robert Englund, who you may affectionately know as Freddy Krueger, the one and only Freddy Krueger, has been announced to joining the cast of Stranger Things 4, which I think is, wow. The cast that Stranger Things has just kind of assembled as they have gone on is inspiring. I mean, it is just absolutely awesome. I mean, they also have, like, who else? There was another person that I saw that there's a Game of Thrones person that they're adding in. And then that even made me was like, ooh. So they're really putting a lot into the production and the cast for the final installment for Stranger Things. So Robert Englund, who of course is Freddy Krueger, in addition, Tom Walshia, he's one of the faceless guys. He's that assassin that's out of Game of Thrones. He's going to be in it, and I'm even more like, ooh. So all these different characters and how they're going to throw them in together is really just, I'm curious how they're going to make this all flow. So the information that we have so far on Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund's character, is that he's playing Victor Creel. Creel is a disturbed and intimidating man who is imprisoned in a psychiatric hospital for a gruesome murder in the 1950s. I wonder where they got that plot idea from. So it really is just building, because I'm curious to see how this works out, because of course we've got the team split now. Part of it's in California. Even the trailer is indicating that it's not only Hawkins now, and the Upside Down is really taking root in our dimension in multiple places. And of course, what's Hopper doing in Russia, and how all that, in fact, that's where the faceless one from Game of Thrones, evidently he's directly involved with Hopper's character in helping him escape or just look after him after he, you know, all of a sudden just, that's got to be unnerving. All of a sudden there's just an American that just appears in communist Russia during the Cold War. Yeah, that's not a good place to be. So all of these elements, just Stranger Things just continues to hit all, check all the right boxes. It really does. And what happens after, I don't even know how they're going to wrap this whole story up, to be honest with you. Because when you think about it, there's still a few loose ends. They've kind of indicated to other characters as far as, you know, Eleven's not the only one. So are there more characters running around? And, of course, her dad, who I was laughing. I was surfing channels, and, of course, Full Metal Jacket was on. So, of course, I had to stop to see Joker, who is Eleven's dad in Stranger Things. Yeah, no, scratch your head on that one for a minute. And it's just kind of fun to just where they're pulling people from, and just, so excited. We'll see We'll see what they do. We don't have any dates. We don't have anything like that. But just small little leaks like this just really, you know, gives you something to look forward to for 2021 and what stranger things are bound. Also in Netflix news, So I stopped and revisited all the old Transformer cartoons, and it's not as difficult as you would think. And then, of course, went into the new Earthrise with the Netflix series. And it's a little bit darker and more cynical. The Autobots kind of come off as assholes in a lot of the first season, or the first series of Earthrise for the Netflix special. The Wheeljack is probably the more redeemable, steadfast character from, like, the old-school Autobots, but Ultra Magnus is just a dick. Ratchet is even more of, like, a dick. So the nobility of the Autobots just kind of, I don't know, you're kind of like, wow, you guys are assholes. And of course, not wanting to fight a war, and I get that, and I know the Autobots are supposed to be more peace-loving, a little more, you know, more on the pacifist side of the equation, where you have the Decepticons, which were the war machines and the warmongers and, you know, all of that. But the creative side of it, I'm excited and I'm not about the news that I received. Okay, first of all, War for Cybertron, Earthrise, there was a brief little blurb that showed up for Hasbro's, what was it, Hasbro First Day? But at any rate, or excuse me, Hasbro's PulseCon, they showed that December 30th is going to be the next installment for the Transformers, which I'm excited. I want to see more. I want to see how this explores and goes into Generation 1 that a lot of people, you know, hold in such high regard. So just to be able to revisit and all of that is spectacular. But I'm still kind of puzzled why, unless it's just outrageous money, but why not get the original voice actors? And I know I shouldn't be hung up on something as trivial as that, but I kind of am. I mean, why go to the whole trouble of reassembling the whole storyline and bringing this into the next stage of its evolution without the proper voices behind it? I mean, it just only made more sense to me to have them involved than not to, unless the price tag is just outrageous at this point. And I know some of the actors probably are not even interested in revisiting that, and some are no longer with us, which, you know, is sad, but it is, you know, it is the state of things. But Earthrise is the next installment. I know we're going to be looking at Beast Wars has been leaked on this. There's a lot of, like, little subtle hints as far as what we're going to expect. Of course, there are other factions now that we're being introduced to, which I really love that idea of having different Transformers, because it is a race and they are in space. There should be other factions floating around out there that we're not aware of besides the Quintessons, which, again, I know, flexing the nerd a little bit too much, is even better, because I saw one of the toys for the Quintessons for the next release, and it looks awesome. I gotta have it. Just, yeah, I know, one more toy, right? What's one more thing on the shelf? Until it collapses, there's always room for more. We'll see what happens. Earthrise will pick up where Transformers War of Cybertron Siege left off, with Optimus Prime and the Autobots encountering a rogue faction of Transformer bounty hunters after they land on Earth. The first teaser of the series debuted during Hasbro's PulseCon event. That's the official release on that. So we'll see. Now I just got to count down to December 30th. I guess that's a way to spend New Year's weekend, because I don't think New Year's is going to happen, as everyone is ready for 2020 to just, you know, be done with. I don't know if there's going to be, like, a whole lot of celebration, or 2020 is just going to go out on a whimper and everybody's just going to close the door on that one. So It will be something fun. There might be a that's it. A Transformers celebration.
Yes.
I like that idea. I'm going to have a party. A Transformer party. Ooh, I like this idea. You're invited, of course. Come on over. Yeah, DM me for an address. I'll let you come over. what else? Speaking of TV series, and this is something I indicated earlier in the podcast today's, that HBO Max is hitting on all cylinders. The end of an era with Supernatural, and now we're starting to see casualties stacking up. One of those casualties is Black Lightning ending after season 4, which is disappointing. I mean, the first couple of seasons, season 1 and season 2, are definitely some very interesting social commentary as far as the world, what's going on, and just the grittiness of society. And it was very well done. There were some parts where I was like, okay. But all in all, an impressive start for the character, staying true to the roots of the character and what they were building. And, of course, them not being on our Earth did create some challenges. But it also gave them some liberties that I don't think that they would have been able to explore had they been on our Earth. Because sooner or later, it just, you know, someone would have stepped in. It only made sense that it had to be on another Earth, given the state of heroes that is going on. I don't think anyone would let them lock down an entire, you know, state because or city because of, you know, civil unrest. I think they would basically bring in the Justice League and like, okay, we got metas in here. Can you take care of them for us, please? At any rate, you go through this whole character world building to bring in the world, join Black Lightning's world to ours at the end of Crisis. And I think that's remarkable. It was something that needed to be done, and it was the perfect way that was the perfect vehicle to bring it all together. It truly was. So you get Supergirl, of course, and this is their last season, and now you're adding Black Lightning to that list of casualties. Now, there is rumors that the production staff is talking about Painkiller is being viewed as the vehicle for the continuation or the evolution of the story, which is stupid. Painkiller is a stupid character. And let me tell you why. Because he's stupid. Black Lightning is the way better choice, and I don't care about Painkiller's journey because it's been kind of like the subplot for what's gone on in Black Lightning. He's I just don't care for his character. I think he's just rather I mean, they're trying to add depth to him with this duality in his personality where he you know, you've got the kid and then you've got the Painkiller persona fighting for dominance over his body. Okay, been done. Not the best approach to it. So yeah, I'm just kind of, I like Black Lightning more as a character and him exploring this new world that he's now a part of, because he is part of the Justice League, and he, you know, it's similar but it's different. There's a lot of potential, and there's a lot of villains that can be introduced instead of the narrow approach that they have had. There have been some great characters that potentially could come out of this, and you know, there could be some overlap, but if they're going to cancel it, that kind of kills that approach. And I don't think Painkiller is probably the best choice to move forward, especially with the announcement that the actress that plays Jen, Black Lightning's younger daughter, was leaving at the end of the season anyway. She was done portraying the character, looking to move on to other projects, and I totally get that. So she's kind of the love interest to Painkiller, so why? None of this makes sense unless it is all about HBO Max. It's the only thing I can think of, because I wouldn't imagine CW just calling it so quick on Black Lightning. I really don't. The story's been interesting. They've been engaging, and it's been fun. So it's not as vanilla as Supergirl. And, you know, all right, fine. We'll see what happens, how they're going to approach this, the final season. I don't know. I honestly don't know how they're going to wrap it up or what they're going to look at for the final go at it. I mean, how do you wrap this up? Is he just going to be there and, you know, we'll give him kind of a rosy send off into the distance and he only shows up for, you know, the major crossover events? Could we see him on Legends of Tomorrow? We're still kind of not sure what's going to happen with that show with Supergirl ending. We got a new Batwoman. The previews and everything for that show coming out in January have been met with mixed reviews, and I'm reserving judgment. I just want to see how it goes, because I was a huge fan of Ruby Rose. I thought she was perfect for Batwoman. She absolutely captured every quality that I was expecting for that character out of the comic book and even expanded further on that expectation. So to see that kind of crumble down to, you know, whatever happened between her and the management is fine. I get it. But at the same point, how do you approach a new Batwoman, especially with the ties with Bruce Wayne and all of that? There's just so it's such a slippery slope. So again, I think we're seeing the end of the CW. And I hate to say I predicted this. I did. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they've got something up their sleeve. Maybe they're circling the wagons to put something forth that no one is expecting from the fan side of it. But I think Crisis was their curtain call. I think that's it. We may see another couple seasons out of Flash. My money's saying maybe one more season for Legends of Tomorrow. And I think that might be it for the Arrowverse. Maybe. I don't know. Let me know what your thoughts are, because I'm kind of scratching my head to see what's in store for them. So we'll see. Speaking of holidays, and a particular holiday special that I've been anxiously awaiting is the one with Doctor Who. Of course, the 13th Doctor has been running around, the writing not as good, but still kind of, you know, some provocative stories that there have been a few that are in the Jodie Whittaker Doctor era have been good. I've been entertained. Not as much as I have with previous Doctors, but still fun, and I like the new Master and all of that. So we end the last episode with her in what we can guess is a Jadoon prison. Yes, I said that right. The Jadoon prison, and now it has been leaked, finally, by none other than Mr. Jack Barrowman himself, Captain Jack. John Barrowman has leaked and shown proudly that Captain Jack Harkness is coming back. The face of Bo is in the TARDIS once more. And I think this is exactly what this show needs. A swift kick in the pants to kind of get it jump-started. Revolution of the Daleks will be airing on the BBC soon. They're going to give us dates and all of that as far as when to expect it. But John Barrowman was quoted putting on Jack's coat and setting foot back on the set of Doctor Who was just like going back home. It's always thrilling to play Captain Jack. He's a character very close to my heart who changed my life. And to know that the fans love him as much as I do makes his return even sweeter. I hope everyone enjoys Jack's heroic adventure with 13. I'm excited to see him come back. Absolutely. Even like the little teaser that we had last season with the warning, don't do this. I don't know if you've watched it, no spoilers. But the whole premise of Captain Jack coming back is so needed and absolutely brilliant. I mean, yes, over the moon. Please give us something good. And I'm really excited to see the chemistry between Captain Jack and, you know, a female doctor. Of course, I'm will Jack be able to resist the urge to flirt even more? Because, I mean, he's always kind of, you know, flirted a little bit with the doctor and all of that. But now with Jody, be interesting to see. So is the bigger question, is this the only time that we're going to see Captain Jack? Is he going to be added as a companion going forward? Which I think it would be necessary. I'm upset about losing Graham and his grandson. I can't think of his name, but that's how memorable. I mean, Graham in my mind has been the best character of the new companions. So I to hear that they're not coming back for the new season, and maybe they are. Maybe all of this has changed, and that's great. But I'm not sold on Yaz. Ryan, that was the other companion's name. Ryan and Graham. And I can't imagine without all three of them. They just kind of complemented themselves. I know between the three of them they made one good companion, but I really was really in on Graham. Graham was probably the best companion, and he kind of gave me the feeling of like Jamie from back in the day with the second Doctor. He kind of had that feel of that comfort, that familiarity, and you know Graham, of course, being older and probably kind of operating from that level of confidence that worked. It really did. So I think that if Jack comes back, I think he would definitely fill the gap of Graham and Ryan taking off. So we'll see, but I just don't think Yaz is a strong enough character. I really don't, at least not the way they have written her so far. And maybe something will change. Who knows? There's a lot left in the air, but we'll see what Series 13 comes up with for the next one. So anyway, moving on. What else? Oh, this was kind of strange, and I didn't know it was still kind of a thing, but Jeff Dunham is doing a new holiday special. In fact, it is titled Completely Unrehearsed Last Minute Pandemic Holiday Special. This will be a new special that's airing on Comedy Central on Black Friday, November 27th. So right around the corner, 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific time, so 6 o'clock in Denver, in Colorado. But, 8 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. The clips look entertaining. Definitely need to laugh, but it's kind of funny because I talked about not this very subject, but I was speaking with a couple of people in the pit about Jeff Dunham, and a lot of people are just kind of like, he's not as funny as he was, that maybe he lost his edge. And I was thinking about that. Like, really, you think Jeff Dunham is done, is over? And they're like, well, we don't think he's over, but he's definitely just, it's not as funny. It's kind of run its course. And maybe, I mean, it's a ventriloquist act. The only thing you can do is, you know, create more dummies. Or, I don't know, come up with different material. I mean, his jokes are good, and his specific point is sometimes there and sometimes not. And I know he borderlines on a lot of different things, but he's a father of twins, and I think that would be kind of fun to explore. But I'm definitely curious to see what we get for the holiday special. I'm sure it will be funny, but if it's on Comedy Central, means there's a slight chance of it being censored. So I don't know. I'm on the fence. I'll still watch it. I mean, Jeff Dunham is absolutely entertaining in my mind, but maybe his welcome has worn thin. He's at the end of this run and needs to come up with a different approach, because the TV shows that he's tried was so not good and a really bad idea. But I still get a chuckle out of his stuff every once in a while, and maybe that's what he needs to focus on, is little small video clips instead of a full stand-up routine. And there's the new Kevin Hart stand-up that just hit that I haven't watched yet on Netflix. Totally in queue for me. Can't wait to see that one and what Kevin Hart's got going on, because he has actually cracked me up And I think he's focusing in on what happened. So absolutely going to tune in for that. And I'm sure it'll be entertaining. It's Kevin Hart. Man's hilarious. And let's see. In the final bit of news, we've got... So this is kind of... I'm excited to see this come to video on demand. Same point, a little disappointed, but it looks like Freaky, the body swapping slasher flick. God, I need to drink more. Slasher flick is coming to video on demand December 4th. The film was released November 13th in theaters, and I haven't seen how the box office is doing with this particular film. Vince Vaughn is in it. He's a serial killer who gets Freaky Friday'd with this teenage girl. So it looks to be a unique twist on the Freaky Friday approach. And just to see Vince Vaughn act like a teenaged girl is enticing enough for me. But just to see the teenage girl go all slasher flick on everybody, definitely for the horror buff for the 80s, this is one I think is a must. I don't know which video on demand, so most likely it'll be on Amazon, but worth the watch just because it just looks so entertaining, because nothing says horror like killing teenagers violently. Absolutely the best kind of comedy out there. but if you want to see it in the theaters, by all means, please go see this out there, because the theaters need help. Everybody needs help, it seems like. Speaking of which, we also are doing our toy and food drive December 5th. So we're down to the last final 2 weeks for the toy and food drive, where everything benefits Feeding Denver's Hungry. If you'd like to make a donation, please, by all means, Saturday, December 5th, will be in front of the Feeding Denver's Hungry warehouse, which is off of 46th and Jason Street, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Drive through, and everybody in cosplay will be around. You can take pictures. We'll remove items from your car. It'll be completely contactless. You can take pictures. You can get out of your car if you feel comfortable. Take some pictures with some cars from Geek Garage, some Ghostbusters, Mandalorians. Star Trek is going to be in attendance as well. So a lot of people getting involved with this, just in hopes to help kids as they go through the food line have a toy for Christmas. Everybody should have a full belly and a new toy to play with for Christmas, in my opinion, and Feeding Denver's Hungry is absolutely working towards that. So come and support us, or if you'd like to make a donation online, you can. I know Feeding Denver's Hungry has the page up. They are a registered 501c3, so any cash donations that you make are completely tax deductible, and 100% of your donation goes towards Feeding Denver's Hungry. So if you can find it in your budget, in your heart, by all means, please give us a helping hand. What else? Video games, not too much going on. The new Star Wars game Squadrons landed, and I am completely hooked on that right now. So entertaining and absolutely worth every cent. So enjoying that right now. Other than that, that's kind of where we're sitting. So... it's Thanksgiving weekend. By all means, kick back, relax. If you have any comments, questions, or anything else you would like to add, put it in the comments down below. Be sure to check out Suzy Q's for her Black Friday weekend festivities, extravaganza, and Cyber Monday, of course. But in the meantime, relax, enjoy, laugh hard, and just be kind.